Welcome back to the Curtis Research Audio Archive. Today, we're turning our attention to a community within the Afrin region of Syria that often goes, well, unmentioned, the Armenians of Afrin.
That's right. Our focus today is really to explore their history within this specific area, what life was like for them, particularly before 2018, and just unpack the story of this unique community.
And we're drawing on quite a range of sources here, academic work, news reports, human rights documentation, too.
Exactly. Trying to piece together the picture from what's available.
It's fascinating. You know, the long history of Armenians in Syria overall, it goes back much further than many people might think.
Oh, definitely. We're talking ancient times. There's the connection with Tigranes the Great in the first century BCE, who actually controlled parts of Syria for a time.
Right, including Antioch. But maybe more substantial migrations came later.
Yes, particularly in the 11th century. After the Seljuk conquests, you see Armenians moving into northern Syria, settling in cities like, well, Antioch again, but especially Aleppo.
Ah, Aleppo. That really became a major center for Armenians in the Ottoman period, didn't it?
Absolutely. A significant community grew there, drawn by, you know, trade and sometimes seeking refuge. They established their own diocese back in the 15th century.
So a really well-established presence with churches, schools.
Yes, key institutions like the Church of the Holy Mother of God and the 40 Martyrs Church became their cathedral. And schools were vital, of course, for maintaining language and culture.
But the event that really fundamentally shapes the modern Armenian story in Syria is the genocide in 1915.
Without a doubt, that horrific violence pushed a huge wave of survivors, refugees, into Syria seeking safety.
Syria became a refuge. Though, it's complex, isn't it? The journey itself was brutal. In places like the Deir Ezzor Desert.
Became sites of immense tragedy. Deir Ezzor holds a very, very painful significance in Armenian collective memory, a destination for death marches.
Yet survivors did rebuild. They established communities not just in Aleppo and Damascus, but across the north too.
That's right. Places like Hasaka, Komishli, Raqqa, Latakia, and various border villages saw Armenian communities take root.
And this is where Afrin starts to come into the picture, perhaps.
Well, the settlement in Afrin seems primarily to be a post-genocide phenomenon. It was more remote, maybe seen as safer, quieter.
So families fleeing the violence found their way there eventually.
Exactly. We have accounts like that of Harut Kivork, whose family did just that, fled the genocide, moved around, and eventually settled in Afrin.
His story often comes up suggesting the community there was always quite small.
Very small, yes. Especially in the years leading up to 2018. The research suggests Armenians, along with other minorities, might have been only around maybe 1% of Afrin's population.
Some reports mention as few as three families remaining just before the Turkish operation, or even just Kivork himself.
The numbers are a bit hazy, but certainly tiny, perhaps dwindling over time. But their presence, however small, was symbolically important.
How so?
Well, these were descendants of genocide survivors living in this Kurdish-majority area. It speaks to that search for safety, for coexistence.
And the sources suggest that coexistence was largely peaceful before 2018, living among their Kurdish brothers, as one quote put it.
That seems to be the picture, particularly during the period of the autonomous administration, roughly 2012 to 2018, a time of relative stability and local governance in Afrin.
So a small community, rooted in the trauma of the genocide, finding a measure of peace in Afrin alongside the Kurdish majority.
Pretty much. And that historical backdrop, that memory, is crucial for understanding what happened next.
Okay, so let's turn to that. The year 2018 brings Operation Olive Branch, the Turkish military offensive, into Afrin. While we're focusing on the Armenians, we have to acknowledge this major event.
We do. Turkey started its reasons related to border security and links between the YPG and the PKK. But for the people on the ground, including the Armenians, it meant violence and upheaval.
And there was direct violence targeting the Armenian community very early on, wasn't there?
Yes, tragically. In January 2018, reports emerged of shelling hitting an Armenian family's home. Roshir Konis was killed, his mother and sister injured.
Just devastating. And how was this perceived by, say, relatives or the broader Armenian community?
It was often framed through the lens of history. Relatives reportedly saw it as a continuation of Turkish aggression, drawing direct parallels to the 1915 genocide, that sense of recurring trauma.
That historical echo must have been incredibly powerful and terrifying.
Absolutely. And it led to displacement. The remaining Armenians, including Harut Kivork, were forced to flee. He lost his home, his shop.
Fleeing again, where'd they go?
mostly towards Aleppo or into the nearby Shaba Canton, around Tel Rifat, where many displaced people from Afrin gathered.
So their experience of displacement was deeply intertwined with that memory of 1950.
Very much so. You see statements explicitly comparing the flight from Afrin to their grandparents' flight, accusing Turkey of repeating history. That narrative is strong in the sources.
Oh, Hannah the Chai Lady is here. Rojbosh, Hannah.
Ah, perfect timing. Rojbosh.
Let's just pause for a moment here and enjoy this chai. It's got that lovely warmth, that spice, just what we need.
It really does hit the spot.
You know, sipping this, it makes you think about those moments of normalcy, of tradition that people cling to even amid such, well, such turmoil and displacement like we've been discussing.
Exactly. It's a reminder of the human element, the everyday lives impacted by these large historical forces. A moment to reflect, definitely.
Okay, feeling refreshed. So after the 2018 offensive, Afrin falls under the control of Turkey and allied Syrian factions, the SNA. What did this mean for the region and specifically for any prospect of Armenians returning?
Well, the post-2018 reality in Afrin is described in numerous human rights reports as, frankly, grim. Widespread violations became common.
Such as?
Looting, seizure of property belonging to displaced people, Kurds, Yazidis, and likely Armenians too. Arbitrary detentions, torture, sexual violence have all been documented. It created a climate of fear.
Not exactly conducive to people feeling safe enough to return.
Not at all. And compounded by what many observers call a policy of demographic engineering or Arabization.
What did that involve?
Systematically settling families, mostly Sunni Arabs from other parts of Syria displaced by the conflict, into the homes and lands left behind by the original inhabitants, primarily the Kurds.
So a deliberate shift in the population.
That's what the reports strongly suggest. The Kurdish population drastically reduced, replaced by these resettled groups, fundamentally changing Afrin's demographic makeup. Hurrit Kevark's house, for instance, was reportedly turned into a mosque.
Wow. And beyond the demographics, what about cultural heritage? We know Afrin had Yazidi sites, archaeological location.
Yes, and there were numerous attacks reported on cultural and religious sites. Yazidi shrines and cemeteries were desecrated. Kurdish symbols like the statue of Kawa the blacksmith were destroyed. Important archaeological sites like Ain Dara Temple and Cyrus suffered damage or looting.
Was there specific destruction of Armenian sites in Afrin itself mentioned?
The sources we reviewed don't confirm destruction of, say, Armenian churches or cemeteries within Afrin City, specifically likely because the community was so tiny and may not have had prominent separate institutions right there. One report did mention a church being closed, though details are scarce. But the overall environment, the attacks on minority heritage, the demographic shift, the general insecurity clearly makes the return of any minority group, including Armenians, extremely difficult, if not impossible. It erases that diverse history.
So where are the displaced Armenians of Afrin now, roughly?
Wow.
You mentioned Aleppo and Shaba.
Primarily, yes. Those who went to Shaba Canton faced difficult conditions in IDP camps, and that area itself has seen subsequent conflict and displacement.
And Aleppo, that used to be a major Armenian center.
It did, but the Armenian population in Aleppo has also significantly reduced since the Syrian war began in 2011. And now, with the recent fall of the Assad regime and the takeover by HTS, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, there's a whole new layer of uncertainty for all remaining minorities there.
That adds another level of precariousness. Has there been a broader trend of Syrian Armenians leaving the country altogether?
Definitely. Since 2011, there's been significant emigration to neighboring Lebanon, but also further afield to Armenia itself, Canada, the U.S., Germany, elsewhere. The war has taken a huge toll on the community across Syria.
What about refugees in places like Lebanon? Are conditions stable?
Not really. Reports suggest Syrian Armenian refugees in Lebanon face quite precarious economic and legal situations, similar to other refugee groups there.
And Armenia itself. Has the recent regime change in Syria led to a new influx there?
There seems to have been some limited movement, but perhaps not a massive wave immediately following the change. The situation is still very fluid.
So, looking specifically at the Armenians from Afrin, the prospects for them ever returning seem bleak.
Extremely bleak, based on the current research. The continued occupation, the profound demographic changes, the lack of security, the trauma, the fact that many Syrian Armenians are seeking futures outside Syria altogether. It all points away from return.
And Hurrit Kevark, the last Armenian, he also left.
Yes, he eventually left Afrin, heading to Aleppo initially. His departure really symbolized the effective end of that continuous, albeit small, Armenian presence in Afrin itself.
It feels like the closing of a chapter, a really sad one.
It does. The uncertainty now hangs over Armenians and other minorities remaining elsewhere in Syria, too, given the shifting power dynamics and reports of violence targeting minorities in other areas under new control.
So the story of Afrin's Armenians is really a microcosm of larger forces, isn't it? Displacement, historical trauma, the vulnerability of small communities in conflict.
Precisely. It connects the long arc of Armenian history, the trauma of 1915, with contemporary conflict and displacement in Syria. It underscores how geopolitical events can just erase or displace centuries of history and community presence.
Going from being survivors of one genocide to becoming, effectively, victims of forced displacement driven by conflict dynamics linked to the descendants of those same historical actors. It's a heady history.
It is, and it leaves us with critical questions about the consequences of these conflicts, the immense challenges for displaced people trying to rebuild lives, and the struggle to preserve cultural identity when a community is scattered.
The effective end of the Armenian presence in Afrin, the specific small community, really forces us to think about the future of diversity in the region. Can it be restored? What does reconciliation even look like in such a context?
These are the difficult questions the research brings up. What happens when a community with such deep roots, even if small in one locality, effectively disappears from that place? What are the responsibilities, if any, of international actors?
A lot to think about. We definitely encourage you, the listener, to explore the sources we've drawn on. Consider this specific story and its broader implications for understanding Syria, minority rights, and the enduring impact of history.
Reflecting on their journey really prompts deeper thought about identity, belonging, and how history continues to shape the present in very tangible, often painful ways.